content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 23rd through Sunday, October 29th, 2023. The commentary for October was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. Prior to seminary, she spent 12 years as an elementary school teacher. When not busy with church activities, she enjoys reading, singing, and watching Dodgers baseball. The commentary for Monday, October 23rd, begins as follows. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Here's the commentary. As I mentioned earlier, my family history at St. Mary's spans many generations, and I am not only identified as my parents' daughter, but also as my grandparents' granddaughter. For parishioners who no longer attend regularly, identifying me by who I am related to help them make the family connection. Similarly, when longtime members come back for big church celebrations, I often ask my dad, who is that person? I may not recognize them, but when I am told who they are related to, I can make the right connection. Jesus had a hard time returning to his hometown. I can relate to the challenge. It can be difficult to return to a community that knows you well, especially when you return having matured and grown. While it can be hard to come home, it is also the place where I know that if I mess up, they'll still love me. And that is a wondrous gift indeed. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this Monday, October 23rd, from Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 58. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do many deeds of power there, because of their unbelief. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, do you find it hard to escape hometown expectations? How can you help others see you in a new light? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 24th. It also is from the Gospel of Matthew, this time chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I preached on this passage in October 2020 on the Feast of St. Francis. The pandemic was in its early stages. Many churches had transitioned completely to online worship. People were still unsure how the pandemic was going to play out, and everyone was trying to figure out how they could stay connected with loved ones, even if they couldn't physically be together. I knew that congregation members had been struggling from losses of loved ones, both COVID and non-COVID related, and jobs to helping their children figure out online school and navigating work-from-home restrictions. Against this backdrop, I preached about the importance of rest and self-care. Jesus doesn't want you to run yourself into the ground. Rest is important. Rest is sacred. And when you share your burdens with another person or God, it helps to make the load you carry lighter. And now I'm going to read the full scripture passage from today. This is from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, October 24th is, are you weary? Rest in Jesus. The commentary for Wednesday, October 25th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I started a church meeting by asking the icebreaker question, "What is your favorite hymn?" I have a long list of favorite hymns, but the one I shared that day was "Abide with Me." This verse from 1 Corinthians is used as part of that hymn text. It may not rank high on many people's favorite hymns list, but it's a song that I associate both with the funerals of loved ones and the hymn we use to conclude our church choir's annual Christmas caroling events. It's not a traditional Christmas hymn, but we include it as a way to honor and remember choir members who have died over the years. As the years go by, it is increasingly difficult to sing the song without my throat catching at least once. But even when the words are challenging to sing, I take comfort in the promise that death does not have the last word. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, and I'm also going to read from the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 12, 1 to 14, beginning with 1 Corinthians. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And now I'll read from Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' He said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He left that place and entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has only one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored, as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. And the moving forward question for today is, what is your favorite hymn? Find a recording or the lyrics and sing along. The commentary for Thursday, October 26th, begins with a passage from Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes." In this verse, the psalmist asks the hearers to do two things that are very difficult: be still and wait patiently. When I taught kindergarten, I frequently had to remind my students to do these two things. To recenter or refocus the class, I would say to them, "Eyes watching, ears listening, voices quiet, bodies still." Or during a group activity, the frequent reminder to the students was to wait your turn. The frequent refrain of this psalm is, "Do not fret," which is often easier said than done. When my students became frustrated that a peer was grasping a concept faster than they were, I encouraged them not to worry about what others were doing. Everyone would understand it at their own speed. Whether this verse is heard by first or 21st century Christians of any age, the message is the same. Sometimes God's voice comes through most clearly in the still, small moments of life. But we also might have to wait our turn to hear from God. Be still and be patient. And now I'm going to read from that full psalm, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 18. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little than the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, October 26th, is it more difficult for you to be still or to be patient? Practice both disciplines with intention this week. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, October 27th. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Love fills the pages of Scripture. This verse comes toward the end of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. He has given lots of advice to a group of people who have endured various conflicts and disagreements. A few chapters earlier, we hear him talk about the importance of love. Here, as Paul prepares to depart, he encourages them to keep the faith and be courageous and strong. Presiding Bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, is fond of saying, "If it's not about love, it's not about God." Paul is clear that as believers in God and followers of Jesus, we must act in love at all times. But this is sometimes easier said than done. All too often we fall short and do not act in love in the way we should. Paul leaves the Corinthians with these words of inspiration, an aspirational goal to always keep love at the center of their actions. We as modern-day Christians would do well to keep love in the center of our actions, even when we encounter a person or situation that we find challenging. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 through 24. If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but he was not at all willing to come now. He will come when he has the opportunity. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, brothers and sisters, you know that members of the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you to put yourselves at the service of such people and of everyone who works and toils with them. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours, so give recognition to such persons. The churches of Asia send greetings. Aquila and Prissa, together with the church in their house, greet you warmly in the Lord. All the brothers and sisters send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Let anyone be accursed who has no love for the Lord. Our Lord come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with all of you in Christ Jesus. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, the statement I should say, is share the love. Support the ministry of Forward Movement through your donations, and also support your church and others in your community who are all about love. Now, the commentary for Saturday, October 28th, which is the feast day of St. Simon and St. Jude, begins with a passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. This passage from Ephesians speaks to the tendency to divide groups into insiders and outsiders. Although my church started as a ministry for Japanese immigrants and began with worship in English and Japanese, the ethnic demographics of the area have changed. Now the surrounding neighborhood is largely Spanish-speaking immigrants from Latin American countries. The inclusion of both the Japanese-American English-speaking longtime members with the newer Spanish-speaking local residents has not been without challenges. But when the two groups combine for multilingual worship, it is truly a glimpse of the kingdom of God. A vast array of musical, linguistic, and culinary diversity is shared. We may not all speak the same language, but we can bring our unique languages, histories, and cultures to worship the same God who delights in our diversity. What unites us is our love for God, and we can extend that love for God to the love of our neighbors. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And the moving forward question today follows the statement, attend worship where people don't look or sound like you. How does the experience then shape your understanding of the body of Christ? And now as we near the end of our program for this week, let's take a look at the commentary for Sunday, October 29th, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Matthew 22, verse 46. No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. My great uncle was an Episcopal priest and seminary professor for many years. Over the years, I have heard from some of his former students, priests and bishops, that he was their most demanding professor. In seminary, I studied his area of expertise, systematic theology, which explores critical theological concepts. It was the most challenging seminar course I took, and I wished my great uncle had still been alive so I could ask him questions. But I also knew from family lore that he was famous for responding to questions with more questions, encouraging his students to go deeper. In today's reading from Matthew, Jesus asks the Pharisees tough questions, and when they don't know the answers, they respond by shutting down. I think our life of faith invites us into a conversation akin to the one I suspect my great uncle engaged in with his students, calling them to reflect thoughtfully, ask questions, and grow ever more deeply in relationship with Jesus. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage today, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" he said to him. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'?" If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. And the moving forward question for this day is very simply, what questions do you have for Jesus? And that is just about all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.